I think that like the biggest problem that anyone will see in business, particularly when they have a business partner, is if someone feels like there's a disparity between work hours or commitment or passion.
You're listening to the Peaches Podcast, a show by Tori Clapham and myself, Beck Chidiak. This is not a show about fitness.
This is a collection of stories and conversations with some of the most inspiring people we know.
That's right. Hello, hello.
Hello, you.
Fancy seeing you here.
Guess who's back?
How are you?
Pretty good, babes.
You good?
Yeah.
Yeah, travelling well?
Yeah.
Enjoying the wet weather?
Yeah. No, not really. Over that.
Over that.
La Nina.
La Nina. Fuck off. Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. Guys, this is probably one of the most common questions and topics that Tori and I get asked about personally, whether it's on our socials, whether it's a friend reaching out to us, and it is about how we navigate being in business together and being besties and being friends and how we solve all of the world's problems at Peaches together while maintaining a healthy friendship as well. So we're pretty excited to unpack this topic. We want to give you guys some strategies, some tips. Again, we're not experts in the field of, giving professional
business coping advice.
Yeah, we're not business advisors.
But sometimes I think speaking from experiences.
Yeah, we've lived and breathed going into business together. We've lived and breathed making really big decisions together. So I thought that we would package this up for you. There's a common trend, I guess, at the moment, or something that I've really noticed is, which makes me so happy, is seeing women starting small businesses, starting their own brands, bringing out their own products. And they're tending to do it alongside a business partner slash friend, which is awesome to see more women in business. But also we do get asked about how does it work.
Danger, danger.
Danger, danger. Red flags and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, look, it's a complicated subject because there's the age-old saying friends and money don't mix. And at the crux of any business is the ability to make money because, you know, don't get me wrong, Peaches has and always will be a passion project, but if we can't pay the rent for our studios, then we can't afford the mixer for the podcast and so on and so forth. So it has to have legs, and for something to have legs long term, you need to be able to function. And for you to be able to function, you need to be able to get along with the people that you're working with.
Yes, yes, yes. So probably one thing that you guys need to know is that Tori and I might look like it or seem like it, but we have not been friends forever. We didn't go to high school together. We didn't really spend much.
We weren't separated at birth.
Though you may think that. But we actually, I started working for Tori. So we discussed, or we spoke a little bit about this in our very first episode, but basically I met Tori through a friend of mine, Lauren, who was a client of Tori's before Tori even had a studio. On her lounge room floor, she would teach semi-private classes, $30 per person for a $60 session. And one day Lauren messaged me and said, can you come and fill Steph's spot, her sister? Otherwise, I'm going to have to pay the whole $60. And I was like, no, I'm not coming to Pilates, even though I'd been told several times to go because I had really hurt my back at a CrossFit class. And I was like, no, I'm not coming to Pilates.
Pilates, she said.
Pilates.
If only you had known.
And Lauren.
How often you would use that word in your life.
I know. And Lauren was trying to convince me. I kept saying no. And she sent me a video of Tori doing the Running Man on the discs, and she was wearing a crop top and shorts. And I know you're not supposed to judge a book by its cover, but if you saw Tori's abs popping out while she was in a really unflattering exercise, can I just say, I was like, okay, yep, I'll come.
I'll keep you around a little longer.
And we met and I loved everything about it. I loved the style of the class. I loved Tori's energy and I couldn't wait to come back for more. You remember that?
I sure do. Yeah, you were very overzealous and throwing all kinds of promises out there. And, you know, I was sort of like, oh, yeah, they all say that. They all say they loved it, but we'll see if she comes back next week. And you literally came back every single week. You were my, like, first member when I opened the original Bondi studio. You were my first employee. And I think that for us it was the perfect progression to business partners, because every step that we took in terms of doing business together was slow and it was strategized, and you know, we built up trust and a rapport over the years.
And it was quite, even though it was strategized, it was quite organic.
Oh my god, it was just, yeah, incredibly kind of, yeah,
rolled into the next stage without us even knowing. We're like, oh, we're here. Oh, exactly. Here we are now.
It was so perfect because we could look back at our history of sort of slowly getting into bed together. Mm-hmm. And there was trust there. We could recognize a similar work ethic in each other. I mean, there's so much that we're going to unpack in this episode, but I actually think that not being friends made us have the capacity to be the best of friends now and the best business partners now, because we came together with like a clean slate. There was no like kind of background noise about, oh, if I say this, she might be offended about this. And in 1992, you borrowed my bracelet and never gave it back, and now I've got trust issues. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, now she borrows my track pants and sends me photos being like, you ain't getting these back. And also not having the same friendship groups.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, something I just thought of then is like there were too many cooks in the kitchen. We're just running our own race.
Yeah. Yeah. No one else's opinion about the other person. Yeah, yeah, very true.
Which was awesome. But, yeah, that's how we kind of fell into business together. But what we kind of want to go through is some tips and strategies for you guys to just ask yourself – questions before you make big decisions about going into business with friends, and also how we make it work. But T, do you want to give our listeners a little bit of detail as to why not so much you wanted to open? So this is also a bit of a different dynamic. Peaches was your brand. So it's not like we were just working together and we started a brand together. You actually brought myself and your husband and several others in their own capacity as well into the Peaches brand. Do you want to go into detail about that a little bit more?
Yeah. I think that what I had kind of set out to do with Peaches was quite intentional from the beginning. You know, when I named the brand, I didn't call it Tori Clapham because I somehow had the foresight to know that, like, if I wanted the business to have legs and if I wanted it to grow, then I couldn't do it all myself. And, you know, as things started to take off and as the brand became, you know, more and more part of my identity rather than a job, I, you know, you become incredibly attached. Your business is your baby, but you have to separate yourself and your own ego from your business if you want it to grow. I mean, it depends what you want. If you want it to be a one-woman show and you want it to be all about you, then that's great. And there are certain fields that play to that. But for me, I wanted a brand. I didn't want an identity, although Peaches is its own identity. I digress. I wanted the brand to grow in a way that I knew I couldn't support. I don't have the expertise in every part of the fields that we operate in. And I realized that as I went. So I guess I just knew that I wanted to bring on people who I trusted and people who I knew could fly the Peaches flag. And you can't be egotistical about it. It can't be all about you. Otherwise, no one feels empowered. I guess that's the other thing. If we, you know, if it was called the Tori Clapham Studio and I wanted to open more than one studio, who wants to open a Tori Clapham Studio? No one identifies with my name.
Yeah.
And it's not even Peaches Pilates by Tori Clapham. It's Peaches. If you're a peach, you're a peach for life. Anyone can identify with being a peach. Someone can open their own Peaches studio and feel that it is theirs and feel that they own it. And I really wanted to empower other people to feel how I felt. I mean, if we look at how many people we employ now, it's crazy how many young women we employ, and that's so cool. I wanted that. I just didn't know how to get from A to B. But then you walked into my living room.
Walked into your living room. Yeah, and that kind of eventuated. I was also quite I had no idea what I kind of wanted to be doing with my life as well, or the direction that it was going. So it was just a really nice growth period for the both of us as well. So thank you. Thank you.
Anytime, girl.
A question that people often ask once they know that we weren't friends is how our friendship kind of grew. So through the process of it all, it was quite work. Like, I became your first employee at Peaches as a Pilates instructor, and took some classes off your hands. But it kind of just naturally evolved into a few friendly text messages. And I was actually thinking when I was kind of planning this podcast a bit, what was like a pinnacle moment of like kind of friendship, or what identified that I was like, oh, I love this girl, was when I was working, when I first started teaching a couple of classes, you sent me a text on a Friday night asking if I'd be happy to open the studio on Saturday morning because you were out with some friends and you're like, look, it's heading into another bottle of wine, but I have to teach tomorrow. You can say no, and I'll close. I won't open the second bottle. And I was like, yeah, I'll teach. No worries. And at that moment, I thought, fuck, that's refreshing to have someone be so honest about that. And I know it doesn't really seem like a big deal between us because we are those people.
But it set the scene early. That's what you mean, isn't it? I didn't tell you a white lie. I didn't say, oh, I'm coming down with a sore throat. Do you think you're available?
Yeah, and I think that happens a lot because you don't want to feel like you're setting a standard. Like, you know, you were the studio owner as well and you just were unapologetically you.
You just got to be real. I mean, one of my biggest pet peeves is white lies. I just want people to be real with me. If you can't make it to something, if you need help, if you need an extension on a deadline, like, I think just tell the truth. And I think that we did that early. And that also kind of leads into like us having similar morals and ethics and lifestyle goals. You know, I think that we became friends because we're kindred souls and we want the same things, you know. I think that there's a fine line, right? Like, we work well, as we do with Chris as well, because we all like to let loose and have fun, but I also am not worried that you're going to like open the business bank account and get a hotel room and, you know,
party through the night.
Yeah, spend all our money on drugs. But I also know that you don't want me working at 9 p.m. on a Friday night and you're not going to ride me if I'm like, oh, mate, I'm going out for a vino.
Yeah, which is all so important when you're considering these you know, going into business with not even just a friend, with anyone, is having time to navigate through that as well. Because it's the little things that really impact you as business partners.
Massively.
And just things like that, it just comes down to like, I'm like, oh, she's honest. If she's honest about that, she can be honest about X, Y, Z. Yeah. And like you said, you know, our work ethic and our similarities through our goals.
I think that we became friends because we don't have – there's no jealousy between us, that we're not playing the comparison game. We're very similar people, so that helps. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we're not comparing each other.
No.
And I think really, like, if you were to get to the crux of that, it's like we're on the same team.
Yes.
I want you to do well. And you want me to do well because you know what? If you do well, I do well.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we've always just got each other's best interests at heart. And that was very clear very early on as well. Just as simple as like covering and highlighting each other and supporting each other. So, that's how the friendship evolved. We've kind of touched on this, but do we want to go a little bit deeper in just like the comparison between becoming friends through business and starting business with a friend?
Yeah, I think there's a really big difference. And I think that ultimately, like, we have to have the disclaimer is that we can't speak to starting a business with a friend, mm-hmm. or we can speak to being in business with a friend. I think that you need to be very, very careful. If you are going to go into business with a friend, I think that it's all very well to idolize, you know, where things could go. And, you know, people forget that, like, it's a bit like starting a relationship, a romantic relationship with someone when you're on holiday. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's all freaking roses when you're in Ibiza getting drunk every night and you don't have to wake up for work the next day and no one's meal prepping on a Sunday night. But, like, when you come back to reality, like, that's when you know if you're really in love. And it's the same with starting a business with a friend, because generally when you're hanging out with a friend, what are you doing? You're going out to lunch, you're going for a walk, you're having a wine, you're going honeymoon. To a wedding together. You're doing all the fun things that friends do together. But when you're in business together, you're rocking up at work at 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. You're grinding when you're tired. You're finishing a deadline even though you're sick. Like, it's very different. So I think that what you need to try and pinpoint in a friend is, like, how do they cope under pressure?
Mm-hmm.
How do they deal with conflict? And things like that.
Yeah, and we went through all of those things on a professional basis first rather than an emotional basis first. So
true.
We kind of just went there. So I think, like, before you do go into business with a friend or anyone really, is just, like, asking yourself why you want to go into business with that person. When you've got the why, you'll probably unpack so many things. Is it because, you know, your bestie is with a really good idea and you want to start a business together, it'll be really fun and we can do this and this is going to happen. Like, running a business is fucking hard work, and it will break you in so many ways you didn't know possible, but it'll also just, like, invigorate you, and you'll meet a version of yourself you've never met before, but you're doing that with someone. Mm. So it has to be the right person. Mm. You don't want to just jump into bed, you know, very rare that one night stands really have the longevity. So you want to date that person before you really jump into bed with them.
Yeah. And I think that's a cool way that we kind of led to our success in our relationship, is that we, you know, like, we tested the water first. I had you teach me first.
Mm-hmm.
Then, like, over time you became a bigger part of the business. Then over time you opened Peaches Maroubra. Like, there was no way you were going to open Peaches Maroubra under that brand if you didn't love me and I didn't love you.
Exactly. And it just also gives you stages to pull away if things aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you come up with an idea and you've got your friend involved and you both start putting money into it and investing into it, emotional time, like financials, you're going too hard too fast, and there's no kind of point just before that where you can pull out. Like, if I was teaching for Tori and then kind of decided, oh, this isn't really the studio vibe that I want to be teaching in, I would have started teaching somewhere else and our evolution of Tori and Beck would never have happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not, you know, a fast track right there.
Yeah, you want to test the waters, and I think, mm-hmm. like, so much of going into business together is going to come down to work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
You need someone who has the same work ethic, and that also includes the ability to wind down and have family time and switch off. But mm-hmm. I think that, like, the biggest problem that anyone will see in business, particularly when they have a business partner, is if someone feels like there's a disparity between work hours or commitment mm-hmm. or passion. You know, you need someone who's on the same page as you. It's like, you know, doing a group project at uni or at school. Like, no one wants to team up with the shit kicker. Is that what it is? Yeah.
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 Shit kicker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So true. Okay. So I put it out there on my Instagram to see if anybody had any questions they'd want to ask. And one of the biggest ones was, how do we separate our friendship and business when we're giving each other feedback, constructive criticism, or handling disagreements or any kind of conflict? And first thing I want to say is, just because you get along doesn't mean these things aren't going to happen. You have to embrace the fact that you're going to have to give the other person feedback.
Yes.
You're going to have disagreements along the way, and there is going to be conflict, but it's how you handle them that will make them not seem so, I suppose, intense. So another thing, this is, I don't want to generalize genders, but women do tend to make decisions based on emotions. Like, it's a scientific fact that our brains are basically built differently. So just bear that in mind, that we are emotional beings when it does come to decisions. So always just take time to process things before you react.
Respond, don't react, is my biggest piece of advice there.
Yes. Yeah, that's big.
Take a moment to even just like understand why you're feeling a certain way when someone says a certain thing. Like, for example, if someone texts you or emails you and goes, hey, I need that XYZ, whatever that project you promised to deliver me on. Like, they're just asking because they're trying to get to the next step. But if you react with, oh, fucking hell, you're always on my back. Like, oh, I'll get it to you. Like, you're rushing me. Is that because you have an insecurity about your own self-worth or your own ability to manage your time? Or like, and you're then putting it on the other person? Mm-hmm. Like, just go through your process before you react.
Yeah, I like that, because there's always external elements as well that...
Or more like internal, right? Yeah, like internal, it's all yourself. It's all,
yes.
Yeah, it all comes so back to true. How you see yourself and your own ego and in your own insecurities and your own perceptions of how other people see you. I think that's a really big one, you know? Yeah, so respond and don't react. And I think like...
Take note, ladies. I like that one.
And when it comes to... However you want to say it, feedback, constructive criticism, disagreements, like let's all just accept now, like Beck said, that it's going to happen, because no one's perfect. No one is a perfect human who comes up with a perfect idea and they're going to execute it and it's going to be linear. Progress is never linear.
Never.
So just know that like over time you're going to workshop it, you're going to fuck a few things up and you're going to rebuild it and you're going to, okay, let's throw that idea out and let's work that and whoop, okay, Tori isn't great at handling accounts, so let's get someone else to freaking do that.
Yes.
And, you know,
you always come to that middle ground. I think with handling disagreements, you've just really got to talk it out. Talk it out. And you said something earlier, not in the podcast, but to me, I was saying talk it out, but if it's not overly important that has to be done, to be spoken about on the spot, sleep on it, which is a big thing with like react and respond. And you also said though that sometimes sleeping on it can be detrimental to your sleep.
It depends on who you are, right? Yeah. Like I'm such an anxious person. Like sometimes I need to like clear the air before I go to bed because I know I'm going to be up all night otherwise. Mm-hmm. And you can build things up in your head. So like I think just embracing things head on, clearing the air, talking to someone, going, hey, like I'm picking up that you're feeling really stressed about this upcoming project. And rather than saying, you shouldn't be feeling like that because we had 3 weeks to get it done, maybe saying like, what can we do now to get the best result? Like, how can I best support you? What can I take off your plate so that we can finish the job?
And then that comes down to bringing our friendship into play. So our biggest intention is the welfare of each other. Like, we only have each other's best interests at heart. So when you are tackling big decisions or disagreements, always just go back to the intention of having each other's best interests at heart. I think that's something that we've always really, really focused on, is like each other's
welfare. I think that like if you have that at the base of like your business and where you want it to go, then, you know, the progress might not be as fast as if you were really cutthroat, but like, I don't want to go to the grand opening of the next studio and have you not there because you had a mental breakdown because I pushed you so hard. Like, there's no point, you know? Yeah. Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Or like, you don't want to, you know, release a brand new app, but like I'm in hospital or something. Like.
Exactly right. Prioritizing each other is very, very important.
And I just want us to be happy. Like I don't want to make $1 zillion, but like I've lost a friend in the process. That's just not my priority. Like,
no, and it never has been. And that just comes back from all those stepping stones that we took to get to where we are now, and, you know, testing out the waters and discovering each other's like goals and ethics and things like that along the way. And usually, like, you know, when there are big decisions to be made, communication is always key, but big decisions aren't usually something that happens overnight.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, so just allow things to play out, allow them to have a process.
Yes, because that gives you a chance to discuss things along the way rather than letting it all snowball up and explode. So just don't hold things in when it comes to big decisions. Like if something, even if it's just something as simple as something being really irritating to you, it might be something on the website that, you know, you don't know how to approach the person in charge of the website, and you're hating it, and you're hating it, and you're hating it. And the more you look at it, you hate it, you hate it, you hate it. And it becomes a big, just like a big problem to have. And then all of a sudden you want to do a whole website design.
100%.
So just talk it out. Always talk it out. People want to know, do we get offended when we criticize each other or give each other feedback or have to bring up some kind of conflict? To be honest, we're very lucky. It rarely, rarely happens.
I think that it is something that is probably more common with my role, in terms of like I do the creative, I do the look and feel of the brand. And if you're anyone who's in a creative role can understand that, like, you're putting, like, it's not about how we allocated the budget that month. Like, that's not necessarily personal, but like when you're like sitting around for hours and creating artwork for something, if someone goes, "Oh, I freaking hate it," it can be hard to go, "Oh, okay, sure, I'll just redesign it." But over time, I think we've gotten really good at being able to workshop things. And it's definitely something that, like, with
you've
my husband,
grown
Chris,
a lot.
Yeah. Like, and I think that ultimately, like, you know, you have to remember, again, we keep coming back to this, is the fact that we're all on the same team.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris might have a suggestion for a color tone, or you might have a suggestion for, you know, whatever it might be, like a flow on the website that just hadn't occurred to me. And you can actually create something so much better.
Well, everybody has valid points.
Yes.
And again, we all want the best for each other and all want the best for the brand. So again, the goal is the same. The intention is the same. It's just that you're not all going to agree. But workshopping is a big thing for us, especially because there are three of us in the business. It's very rare that all three of us are going to agree exactly on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The goal is the same, but the vision isn't.
And that's where I think it comes into, like, trust and allocating roles.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I can say, here's how I think this should play out with the staff in the studio, but Beck, your head trainer, I trust you. Trust you to put the right class at the right time to suit the clients, and I trust you to, you know, let that flow onto the staff, and vice versa. Like, you know that I'm not going to make a choice with our color palette or our Instagram that's ultimately going to be a detriment to the brand.
Exactly. And then again, that just comes down to communication as well. So, like our previous episode on relationships, communication is key.
Excuse me.
You're right.
We're not a podcast that edits out things like that. So, sorry, not sorry.
We keep it real. And another thing when it does come to all the big decisions and conflict and all that kind of stuff is just don't forget that you're friends. Because when you go into business, having a small business or any kind of business takes up your life. It takes up your thoughts. It takes up so much space in your mind that it's really common to let your friendship element slip. And that's when kind of the fun is removed as well. So,
so true.
Yeah, because you were friends first, you know, so don't let that slide out the way. And remember why you're friends, because that's going to benefit your business in a way as well. So just making sure that even though there is, you might be having big business decisions, but outside of those kind of, I suppose, work hours, take time to spend time with each other. Go for that walk that you used to go for. Go for that dinner and, you know, bottle of wine that you used to have. And again, try not to focus on work, or the creative juices get flowing while you're having that bottle of wine and you come up with a really fun idea together. But don't forget that you're friends first. And I think Tori and I at the moment, spending physical time with each other as friends is a bit more challenging because we have a lot going on.
It's so hard.
But when we're at home and not at work together, a lot of the time, unless we're working on a project, we're giving each other life updates. She's telling me when she's in the bath, when that
There's
happened.
A lot of back and forth that isn't work, and it's just general communication, life updates, just personal, just, I guess, just like cultivating our personal relationship.
Yeah, and that just brings back into play like the fact that we're important to each other outside of the business.
Yeah, we care about each other. We want each other to be okay. And like,
yeah, I care that she's pouring her gin at 10 to 5, not 5 o'clock. And so, yeah, another really great question was, how did we discover our job descriptions and really giving each other, like working with each other's strengths and weaknesses, I guess, as well. So again, with the testing the waters first, that was such an organic kind of process.
And when we brought Chris into the business, like there was a formalization of each other's roles, mm-hmm. where we kind of allocated different parts of the business to each other. And that really just went into everyone's prior work experience, everyone's prior strengths, and also everyone's prior passions. Because even if you have experience with XYZ, but if you freaking hated it in your old job, like the whole point of starting a business is like, you know, you have to have a little bit of passion in there too. Yes, it's hard work, but like you at least want to like what you're doing while you're grinding. So I definitely think that is really important, and try not to have too many overlaps. Like, yes, ultimately as like the three directors of the business, like we all sign off on things, mm-hmm. but like, you know,
we're our own race.
Yeah, exactly. We're going through some really big, exciting changes in the business at the moment. And like, we can't have all three of us making a decision on every little thing that needs to be signed off at one time, because no. otherwise nothing's going to get done.
Well, also own the fact that opposites do attract.
Yeah.
Like, we might have similar goals and similar intentions and similar lifestyles, but like having different strengths in terms of like creativity, strategizing, physical kind of work, you know, that's great, because then you can all own those positions and just own it. Put that hat on and that is your job, because it makes you more confident, which makes you better.
Yep, absolutely. And it also makes you accountable, whereas if everyone's kind of across everything and then something doesn't get done.
We've learnt that big time along the way.
Who was meant to do it?
Chris always has to remind us of that, like whose job is that?
Yeah. Like we actually need to like take minutes from a meeting and put someone's name next to each job. That I cannot, like, I know it sounds so basic, but I think in small business, when things are often quite casual, you can lose like some of those strategies that you learn in like the corporate world or the workforce in general, you know, because you can have a great meeting and go, great, we're going to do X, Y, Z. We're going to release this product and we're going to initiate this project on the Instagram and it's all going to be wonderful and we've all got these cool ideas. But if you leave that meeting without like a timeline and a person who's responsible for each part of the project, then guess what? You're going to recap in a week, in a month, and it might not have gotten done because I'm going to assume Beck was going to do it and I just liked the idea.
And on and vice versa. And on that, having meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, can you hear us?
Hopefully Chris isn't listening, because he'll laugh that we're giving this advice, because we haven't practiced what we are about to preach right now, but we were really, really good at this. It's just been a bit of a change in schedules with working
small
and
humans.
Parenting.
Demanding little things, aren't they?
Demanding little things.
We're not having enough meetings, and honestly, like, it is to the detriment of the business.
And it's just a weekly catch-up, as Tori was just explaining about, like, who's responsible for that kind of stuff. It's just, like, yeah, making sure that, you know, you guys have your roles and that you stay accountable across it all. It just avoids you running into any kind of conflict And again, when you're in business with friends, those conflicts can feel a little bit more heightened and personal.
100%. And if you have a weekly meeting, you have the opportunity to check in with each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
Welfare check. All right. Well, just to round off this little chat about friendship and business in general, owning a small business, I think it would be just really helpful if we fire off a couple of like top pieces of advice, things that are really important to know before you take the dive, because it is really different working for yourself than working for the man. I think the first thing to keep in mind when you're going into business with someone else is to have transparency. Like we touched on before, like little white lies can build up. I think being able to be honest with each other when it's good and bad is really important. So always being honest if you don't make a deadline, always being honest if you need someone to take a shift or take the lead on something. Always being honest if things aren't going well, if you're not coping, like if the workload is too much or if you think something's not working in the business, like, hey, the direction that we're taking with this project, I just don't think it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Being open, being honest, because in real life, aka in your social life, white lies do have a place.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't come to lunch. I can't come to the birthday because I'm unwell. But in business, there's no time for that. You can't floralize every opinion. You don't have time to be like, hey, sweetie, how are you? And blah, blah, blah. Like, just get to the point. Mm-hmm. What do we want? Let's get it done. And then my next point would probably be boundaries, like having boundaries around how you structure your work day and how you allow your small business to integrate into your life.
Mm-hmm.
And also like lining those boundaries up with your work partner.
Yeah.
Basically, you just want to be on the same page.
Always, always. I think a big one is not taking things personally. Mm. Because that's really easy to do, especially when you go into it with a friend that you've already been friends with. Like not in so much our situation, just not taking things personally and swapping hats from friendship to business. When you pop the business hat on and you're having a disagreement, you're less likely to take it personal. Don't look at it as your best friend personally attacking you about something. Remember that it's a big business decision or something that might benefit the decision and workshop it together. Then take your hat off and put your friend hat on and go and celebrate for drinks afterwards.
So true. I think we go back and forth from that, like even while we're sitting in the office here. Yeah. We can like yabber on about like Hunter and Izzy, and then I can go, okay, I've got to get shit done.
Yeah.
And you're not like, oh, she cut me off mid-sentence. Or
no,
like,
no. You've been cutting me off way before the kids. And just have fun. Honestly, having fun is so important. You can get so caught up into the ins and outs of going into business and everything that's involved in running a business that you do forget to have fun along the way. Like celebrate the little wins, celebrate the big wins. You know, something that I think that we personally need to focus on is, you know, just taking a moment to really embrace like what we have achieved rather than going on to the next big thing. So if you get to do that with your bestie as well, that's like, you know, there's not much better than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we hope we've helped you make some big decisions about going into work with your bestie. But we want to finish up with what has made us feel fucking awesome in the business. So our business mission statement at Peaches, if you haven't heard already, is to make people feel fucking awesome. And that's what we want to do for others. But a lot of the time, Peaches does that for us. It makes us feel fucking awesome. So for me, being in business at Peaches and what makes me feel fucking awesome is just being part of a community where everyone wants the best for each other, whether that is in the studio with our clients, with our franchisees, or alongside Tori and Chris. Success will follow, but I feel fucking awesome just knowing that we all want the best for each other. Every class that I teach, my intention is for them to walk out of that room feeling fucking awesome. And they do, whether that's physically, mentally, When I have a meeting with Tori and Chris, when we're working on a project, you know, our intention is to feel fucking awesome. So that is what mine is. What is yours?
Mine's pretty similar. I think really like what I've gained with this business is actually like a family. You know, it's a family business. It's a family operated business. And I feel like I always say this, but like through you, I have like a best friend, a sister. I have a second husband. I have a son. You know, our team members, it's so much more than like employees or business partners. We are family. Yes. And, you know, when we take holiday together, when we succeed, it's because we're then able to build a life that we envisioned
together.
And I think it's really beautiful. It's very intertwined. And, you know, one of the benefits of us not being friends prior was that, like, I got to add all these new people into my life as well, you know. Like, we get to, like, share each other's friends and other family members. And, no, it's really beautiful.
That was a really nice note to finish on, babe.
Thanks, girl.
Well, we hope that helped, and we will be back next week.
See you soon.
Bye.
Bye.